Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. We also know that God, through His Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, has called us with three commands. And yes, I go over this every Sunday, and for right cause, because it is the vision of the church. It is the mission of the church to love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in these three commands, the totality of Scripture, Genesis to Revelation, is wrapped up. And as we submit ourselves to Him, who is our high priest, we too shall be transformed and live that life of blessing in a world of cursing that will be transformed one day, and there will be no more curse, no more tears, no more sickness, no more death. And the church says, hallelujah. I didn't hear that, church. And the church says, hallelujah. That's a little better. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Hey, today we're gonna be dealing with something here today, and you know, how many of you like the sermon title? Lord, where'd I put my keys? Nobody can relate to that, right? Not one of us. I could have wrote in there, Lord, where'd I put the remote? And we'd all got it too. Because it's just so funny to me, you know, I think about how often we in our world use keys. You know, there's all kinds of technology out there, but the one thing that hasn't changed is we all have keys. And it's funny because for me to come to church, I have to bring this set of keys because all the church keys are on here. And then to get here, I got to have this set of keys because that's the keys to the Jeep. And so I got to carry them both. Now, if I just take my truck, I only need the one. But when I drive the Jeep, I got to carry them both. How many of you are like that? How many of you have ever seen those guys with a keychain hardwired to their hip? You know what I mean? And there's got to be like 300 keys on that puppy. I used to have one of them. And then I realized I'm carrying 15 pounds of weight, and I don't even know what half of these keys are to. When I put the church keys on here, there were just as many keys on here at that time. And I was like, well, heavens to Betsy, we changed that lock. Yeah, that's to the old house from Glenrock. And I'm like, I cannot believe I kept these keys. What did I keep them for? They had no meaning to me anymore. I couldn't use them. But also, I get to start to think, and, you know, how many of us have specialty keys? You know, because how many of you lose your keys? I mean, let's be honest. We lose our keys, right? So we do things like this. Yeah. How many of you ever been to a restroom and a garage and they put it on a tire iron so you don't lose it from the time you go to the bathroom till you get back? You know what I mean? Well, this is the key to our hunting camp. And some of you are going to say, oh, he just did that for today. No, I didn't. This has been like this for the last 10 years because I gave it to my wife one time and we couldn't find it for God knows how long. And I said, we ain't losing it again. So I put this antler on it, and I'll tell you what, it's never gotten lost. But one of the things that I want us to think about is how many of us even know what our keys are for anymore? You know, we have all these different keys, or how many of us use them? You know, I don't know about you folks, but I know when I was growing up, how many of you locked your houses when you were growing up? Man, I'm telling you, my house was open all the time. We'd go on vacation for a week, and the house would not be locked. Those days are gone, aren't they? Yeah, we lock everything up. We lock everything up now. But again, it's understanding, you know, what are keys? What do they represent? Pastor, what are you going to be talking about today? Well, I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. We're going to begin in chapter 16. And we're going to be going through a good bit of the scriptures here. Because there are some things that I pray, you know, the Lord has been teaching me and showing me. And I've been speaking it to several of you here over these last few weeks and months, because the Lord leads me to these sermons. It's not something that I just pick out of my head. It's what's happening in the life of the church. It's what's going on. And I think my premise today is this. It isn't that we've literally forgotten where our keys are or we've lost them. Many of us don't understand that we have the keys that we have. And then, how do we use them? What do they do? So today, we're going to talk a little bit about some of that, because Jesus tells us that we have the keys to the kingdom. From chapter 16, beginning in verse 13. From chapter 16, beginning in verse 13. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven." As we look at these words and we begin to contemplate what God is giving us here, the one thing we need to understand is, what are keys for? What do keys signify? If you have the key to a house, does that not signify that, number one, you have the authority to enter that house? And does it not also signify that you have, because of the key, total access to everything in the house? So this is one of the things that we need to understand. If Jesus is giving you the keys to the kingdom, he is telling you that you have access to everything that's there, and you have the authority to use it. And many of us act as though we don't have the authority to use this place, or we can't access everything. Because how many of us compartmentalize our lives and we let God into certain parts of it, but not other parts? And see, the reality is Jesus doesn't do that. When Jesus opens heaven to us, when he opens the kingdom to us, everything is open to us. We have access and authority to go anywhere and be and do anything that Jesus Christ has commanded unto us. All the things that he has given to us are at our access, and we have the authority to do them. So then my question is today, well, you know, what kind of authority do we have? Well, Jesus repeats this very command, okay? Turn in your Bibles, keep a page there. So if you got a bookmark, stick it in there, because we're going to come back. But we're going to go to Matthew 18, just two chapters away. Just two chapters away. Matthew 18. And we're going to look at 18 and 19. Thus saith the word of the Lord. For a second time, truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst. You see, one of the things that we need to understand is, yes, we have authority to go in. We have authority to access and to utilize these things. But when we operate together, it multiplies the effect. And Jesus is right here with us, okay? We need to understand that you and I individually have all the access. We have all the authority, but God compounds it when there are more of us who come together. That's one of the reasons we gather as a church. You do understand that. There's more than two or three here. Can I get an amen? And for you folks out there on the internet, with you coming in to this agreement with us by being here, by coming under this teaching, you also gain that very access and that authority and the power therein. We need to understand Jesus here is talking very really to us. These are not metaphorical things that he's speaking. It is the truth because he is the truth. Can I get an amen? And in that truth, we understand then that he has given us something that I want to put most of our time in today. What does it mean when we talk about binding and loosing? Okay, now I'm going to flip back here because I'm going to read it from 16. And it says to us in 16, pardon me. I was on the right page. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Keys lock and unlock. Can I get a yes? Do you agree with that? They lock things up and they unlock things. Okay? Binding and loosing. We need to understand that concept, okay? A lot of us, when we read this, you know, we think differently. But those keys give us the ability to lock something up or to unlock it and open the doors. If the door is locked, and you got to remember this is a heavenly door, can anyone open it if that door has been locked? No, absolutely not. Somebody has to have a key to unlock it. So once you have locked something up, once you have bound something, it is bound forever until someone opens it. Because we're not binding in our name. We're not binding in our authority. We're not loosing in our name or in our authority. We are loosing and binding. We are opening and closing doors in the authority of God the Father Almighty through his Son, our Savior, Jesus the Christ. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, the triune God has given us that authority, has given us that access, that everything we open, everything we close is done by him. We're working in agreement with him, and he in agreement with us. That's some pretty powerful thoughts when you start thinking about what's going on. That's one of the reasons why when we think about, you know, well, why don't things, you know, I have prayed to win the lottery and Father, God just doesn't listen to me. He's not given you that key. Okay? Because number one, it is not a key of heaven. We need to understand that. It is not a key of heaven. It is a key of lust. It is a key of pride. It is a key of destruction for many people. Now, have Christians won the lottery? Yes, they have. Yes, they have. And they've been blessings, okay? But some of them have also been cursings because it can be a curse. To whom much is given, much is required. And when you turn some of these things to self rather than turning it out to the Lord, rather than being in alignment with the Lord, number one, you try to use a key inappropriately, and I think it's amazing because they're spiritual keys. It's not a physical key. It's a spiritual key. And I can remember a time, and this is not a joke because it really threw me. I used the wrong key in a lock. How many of you ever broken a key off in a lock? Turned that key and it snapped, and I'm like, I can't believe it. And I, you know, and we literally had to break the door down to get that key out of that, because we had to tear the lock out. I'll never forget that. And then, like 3 days later, I realized, well, that's why it didn't work, because I shoved the wrong key in there. You can't use the wrong key on a lock that it's not going to work on. Well, what keys do I have, Pastor Rich? You know, how do I understand what I can do and what I can't do? How many of you understand that the gifts that God gives us are keys? How many of you here understand that the keys of heaven, they are very spiritual realities? And when we think about them, all of us have certain keys, but some of us have other keys, okay? One of the keys that I have is the key of preaching and the key of evangelism and the key of teaching. Now, how many teachers do I have here in this church? Now, I'm going to tell you right now, yeah, there's a bunch of teachers here in this church who can teach through the power of the Holy Spirit, because when they unlock that door, have you ever sat under a teacher that all of a sudden when they're teaching, it's just like somebody opened up a treasure chest and you're sitting there like, oh, I never knew that. That's because God is showing you his power through that individual. Has nothing to do with the person behind it. You know, all you folks tell me, oh, Pastor, that was a good sermon. Oh, Pastor, how did you know this was going on in my life? It ain't me. It is the Lord Jesus Christ through the power of his Holy Spirit who teaches me these things, who preaches through me, because I allow him access to me. You see, the keys work both ways. When you unlock it, when you open it, you're opening something in yourself. When you close it, you're closing something in yourself. And when you open it, God opens his to you. If you lock the door on earth, it's locked in heaven. If you open the door on earth, it's opened in heaven. So when you open the door of your heart to your life, to prayer, to faith, to courage, all these different things we're going to be talking about, God opens his to you. Now, how much do you think you're going to get, people? Not only are you going to gain access, but you are going to gain the ability to do 10 times more than you have ever done in your life, because God is going to empower you to truly work in ways miraculous. And that's one of the things that we need to understand. Where are my keys? How many of us even know what keys we have? And if we have them, are we willing to use them? Well, I've never opened that door. I've never used that one because people have told me don't open that door. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, if God's given you the key, open that door, because you have no idea what's behind it. And when you find out, you are going to fall in love with a Lord and Savior that has given things unto you that you have no idea about. When I started preaching, I had no idea where he was going to take me. I had no idea what he was going to do with this old boy. Believe me, you should have known me back in the machine trades. You'd have looked at me and thought, and you're going to be a preacher with that mouth? Yeah, because God knew that once I opened it to him and he cleaned up my room, just where it was going to go. And we're not done yet. I'm still a work in progress. So I want you to look at some of these things. Turn in your Bibles to the book of James. We're going to be in James chapter 5. We're going to look at some of these keys that are there for each and every one of us. And we're going to look at some specific ones. The key that I'm going to be looking at here right now is going to be the key of faith and prayer. We're going to be in James chapter 5. James chapter 5 and verse 15. Well, we're going to go to 14, Pete and Chris, so if you could back that up one. From 14 through 15. says, is any among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Brothers and sisters, one of the keys that we have is the key of faith and the key of prayer. That's two different keys. They're not the same key. That is two different keys. How many of us utilize the key of prayer? Yeah, almost every Christian I know utilizes the key of prayer. But do you think if you utilize the key of prayer with the key of faith, do you think it's going to be a little bit more effective? Yeah. Because you can pray all you want, but if you aren't walking in faith, the prayer you're going to say is probably the prayer God wants to have happen. But if you're not praying in faith, you're relying on the faith of other people to take that prayer to where it needs to be. But when you couple it with your faith and unlock that thing in faith, what does it say? The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's one of the reasons why it says to call the elders. Because who is supposed to be the ones exercising those keys before the entire church? Because it's not that only the elders can do this. It's that it happens through the elders that the rest of the church sees as this is what they're supposed to be doing. Because you see, God uses those who are above, those who are in those seats of power, those who are in those places of presence. Because I don't look at it being any more power than anybody else. It's a place of presence. Well, if this person is submitting themselves, well, then I need to do that. And that's the exact reality that God is trying to show here. It's not that your elders are any better than you, that your pastor is any better than you. We just have different gifts and different positions within the church that God has given us authority to walk into. Again, that's a type of key. And as we walk in these authorities, as we open the doors and access faith, as we access prayer, we can legitimately begin to see God work in this world. So when you are getting ready to lay hands on a person, I want you to think about it this way. Lord, I need to open my faith, believing. You know, I think it's kind of amazing. And yeah, I'm stepping off the pulpit because this is where we all are. How many of us will go into a time of prayer and we'll say, well, if God wills it. Excuse me? Didn't he say, speak ye unto this mountain, be ye gone from here and into the sea, and it will be? Did he not say that? Are you going to speak to that mountain, or are you going to whisper in your will that, well, you know, I don't have much power. You've got the keys, people. You have access. You have the authority. Begin to utilize it like you do. When I'm praying in reality. I'm waiting for that lady to come back to me and tell me, yeah, boy, the cancer's gone. Yeah, I knew that. You're just going through all this stuff just to prove it. That's all. That's life. And when this young man comes to me and says, man, I can't believe it. This stuff's all gone. It's out of my neck. You know, God bless him. And God uses doctors. Can I get an amen? God uses surgery. God uses chemotherapy. But God's also in the miracle business. And I've seen them both. And we've got to believe. You don't pray it up there and say, you know, like the lady with the mountain in front of her house. Y'all have heard that story, right? Every morning she'd wake up and open her curtains, and out her great big kitchen window, all she saw was the face of a mountain. And she said, oh, Lord, the valley on the other side is so beautiful. It is such an awesome view on the other side of that mountain. I wish that you would take that mountain away so I could see the valley on the other side. And every morning she would get up and she'd open the curtains and say, yeah, I didn't think so. If you're going to pray the prayer, believe it and receive the blessing of the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that pastor's a name it and claim it kind of guy. No, 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 no. Your prayer has to be in line with the Father. Your prayer has to be in line with the Son. Your prayer has to be in line with the Holy Spirit. Because the mountain he's talking about is not Mount Everest, okay? The mountain he is talking about is something in your life that is keeping you down or another person down that God can and will move in because he's done it in the past. And if God has done it in his story, he'll do it in your story too. That's the way my God works. Can I get an amen? And you and I need to understand, we got to operate in prayer and faith in order for those things to happen. If you're not going to unlock your faith to this thing, don't expect to see anything from it. But if you're going to unlock your faith and the church is going to unlock its faith, you better prepare for a miracle. How much work do you think we would see done if the church literally believed everything it said it was going to do? I want you to think about this. When Billy Sunday and some of these early pastors that were out there preaching, and we had the evangelism going around the world, you know, Billy Graham, how many people was he seeing come to the Lord? You know, all these great pastors of old. Oh, I wish it was like it used to be. Why isn't it anymore? Because we don't believe. We've bought into the system that is our education system, that we have learned that, oh, we're enlightened people. You know, it is by reason and logic. You know, I have all these letters behind my name too. I have a BS in Bible. A couple of you got that. It's called a Bachelor's of Science, by the way. And I have a master's degree in pastoral ministry. Does that mean I'm a wonderful preacher and orator and wonderful minister? Absolutely not. Bob over here has a PhD. What's that stand for, Brother Bob? Yeah, buddy. There you go. That's what I was waiting for him to say. Plain high school diploma. And he's one of the men of faith of this church that has gotten us to where we are because we come under the power and the authority of the word of Jesus Christ. Amen, Brother Bob? Because he's in control. We're not. I mean, I look at where we are, and I look at the capabilities in prayer and in faith. Well, what about some of the others? Turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. Just back a couple of pages. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Because again, I want you to understand there is so much open to you. Hebrews chapter 3, and we're going to be in verse 6. Verse 6, but Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are. If we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. You and I have the key of courage and hope. Hope does not disappoint us. Why did you use this pastor scripture? Because I wanted us to see that it doesn't come from us, does it, Miss Susan? It comes from Jesus Christ, right? That we are to have confidence. That's courage. Because otherwise we would not enter in before the Father. We have courage to enter into every situation because God goes before us. When you unlock the courage of God, your courage to enter into a situation, there is nothing that can defeat you. Nothing that can defeat you. Nothing that can defeat you unless you allow it. When you unlock the courage that is in you through Jesus Christ, nothing can defeat you. When you walk in hope, do you see how courage and hope can play a part together? That's why I'm pairing these. Because when you put two together, it's a whole lot stronger than just one. The one is powerful enough because it's from God. But how many of us are that strong, Miss Susan? We need to power them. We need to put them together. Because when we put them together, they are exponentially manifest in our lives. because we are to have that hope. We are to have that courage to go out into this world, to be Jesus Christ, to speak against this illness, to speak against evil, and know that it's going to listen to who we are, not because of who we are, but because of whose we are. All authority and power rests in Jesus Christ. And if in Jesus' name we are coming against this thing, and it is a thing of God that we are to be coming against, do you think God's not going to allow us to see a victory? I'm telling you right now, as pastor, I have seen people get through stuff, and it's funny because the biggest enemy is their own mind. Because we have been told we can't do it. From the time we were little, we were told we can't do it. And do you realize I have to reteach the entire church? All ministers, we have to reteach the entire church. And I'm going to tell you right now, I've just taught you, so that means you all got it, right? No, it don't. I'm going to be bringing this thing back around, okay? It's the Israelites in the wilderness. We just kept going around this thing for 40 years. Some of us are a little older than 40. Can I get an amen? And we're still going around this thing. And we're still discovering things about ourselves and about our relationship. So don't feel bad about losing your keys. Go get your wife's and get to work. Okay? How many of us got multiple keys in the house? I think we've got 8 keys to unlock the front door, don't we, sweetie? Well, I know I got, there's 2 of them right here. How many do I need? As many as it takes. And just keep using them. Believe, receive, move. 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4, another set of keys. Another set of keys. 2 Corinthians 4. Again, I want you to understand, folks, God has given us so many different keys. And oh my gracious. As we walk with these keys, we need to get them out and use them. Don't just carry them on your chain on the side and say, oh, look, I got all this. You know, how many of you ever saw those movies in the old days, you know, where the guy's got 100 keys and he's at a door and he's got to get that door open right now. And he's fumbling through the keys and he's trying all of them. We have no idea which one it is. The awesome thing about the spiritual keys of Jesus Christ, they're on our heart. It's not a physical key. As soon as we call the access to it, it's there. 2 Corinthians 4 and 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 6. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We have the power of knowledge and wisdom. And that means we also have then the key of understanding, the key of wisdom, the key of understanding, the key of knowledge. Each one of these plays hand in hand together. You can't have wisdom without having understanding. Knowing a tomato is a fruit doesn't do you any good if you stick it in a fruit salad. That would be kind of yucky. Now, I don't know. Some of you may like tomatoes that much. But when we understand that you and I have these keys at our midst, and God has given you the ability to understand things because he's granted you wisdom and he's also granted you knowledge. Knowledge is knowing something. Wisdom is knowing what to do with it. Understanding is coming under it and submitting to that truth. And that's one of the keys that we have to use most of all, Miss Susan, is understanding. Would you agree? Because we need to understand our position in this, that it's not to be heady. None of these keys are given to us that we may be the ones exalted, but that we would exalt him. Can I get an amen, church? because God is God and he is doing this through us. We are his, and it's amazing because we get to live a life of blessing and see people blessed and grow, and people are going to be like, oh my goodness, you, and we better be saying, oh no, him, because he's the one doing it. We're just simply the recipients of blessing. We're the ones of the recipients of goodness and hope and fellowship and growth in the body of Jesus Christ. That's what I'm saying. If we begin using these keys, oh my heavens, all of eternity is open to everyone, and everybody will be operating outside of this world's stuff and in the kingdom. What a different world would it be if everyone here truly loved God, loved others, and was going with the truth of that gospel? How much better would life be? You know, it amazes me when I think about where is the church? We're running around acting like we have no idea what we're doing when we have the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and all we have to do is access them. The last key, and I'm just going to tell you about this one because I'm already over my time. Y'all know me. I go over time so quick. The last key that I wanted to talk about today was the key of preaching and teaching and evangelism, and that's in 1 Timothy 4 and 13, for those of you who are interested in writing that down. 1 Timothy 4 and 13. But brothers and sisters, I've been at this now, you know, this year, 2025, is my 28th this month, is 28 years that I'm in ministry. 28 years I'm in ministry. It's almost half my life now. Almost half my life. And I'm amazed because I'm still finding keys. Hence the name of the sermon. Lord, where'd I put my keys? I don't even know what half my keys are yet. I'm still growing in it, and I'm finding, oh my goodness, this is a key. No wonder I'm having such difficulty. I got goosebumps right now so bad, so good, because that's the Holy Spirit. That I'm realizing, oh my gracious, Pastor, if you don't understand this, if you don't, you know, and you're growing in this, how much more is your church growing in this? And they need to hear that Jesus Christ has given you the keys to the kingdom. If it's of him, if it's one of his powers, it's yours to use in all authority, with all access. But you've got to use them in accordance with the word. Because if you don't, God will shut that door, and it may be shut forever. So don't abuse the keys, but use the keys to glory in the Lord and to see others come to glory. That's what they're all for. You know, I'm amazed because who benefits when we operate in glory, Miss Susan? Yeah, everyone. We do. Not me do. We do, because God is a gracious God. Where one person is succeeding, the rest of us receive blessing as well, because together we are a church, and together we experience those blessings. You know, I'm reminded of this, and I'm going to say this, you know, and it's going to be a shameful thing to say, because people are going to be like, oh my goodness, no, you know, this is a good thing. The Heart of Christ Church now has a new facility. But St. John's is welcome. Every St. John's member is welcome to become part of us. And we welcome you with open arms, because it's not our kingdom. Amen, church? It's his kingdom. You were here before us. Join us. And may we work together, unlocking the doors that the evil one has shut before us, and locking the doors where the evil one doesn't belong. Can I get an amen? Amen. And may the church of Jesus Christ operate in full authority with full access to the Father in heaven through the love of the Son and by the power of his Holy Spirit. And the church says, let us pray. Father God, we come before you. And Lord, we do claim, where'd I put my keys? Because we need them. We need them. We need to understand what they are. We need to access them. We need to utilize them. And we need to submit to you in them, that we may be the church of Jesus Christ, that we may walk in faith, that we may see your glory every day, and that the body would grow, and that people who are stuck in bondage, that we would unlock the shackles that are holding them. Because, Lord, that's part of the keys, is to unlock those who are bound in sin, to set them free, that they may be free indeed. And that, Lord, is not by us, but by you. For who the Son sets free shall be free indeed. So, Lord, walk with us, teach us, grow us, and allow us to understand that the keys to the kingdom are right here for us, they are available to us, and that each and every one of us, it not only has the authority, but God, you're asking us to use them. Because in that, your kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. Bless it. Be your holy name. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.